Okay, welcome to another episode of Star Spangled Eurovision. This will actually be the last episode we record before we all head out to Lisbon for Eurovision. We're so excited, right?
Oh yeah, we're gonna have the wrap-up episode afterwards about all the drunken shit we get into. Yeah. But like, this is the last real one you have to listen to.
We might give you an update from Lisbon, maybe, but we definitely will have a debrief. So look out for that in a couple weeks. But in this episode today, we will be going over the Big Five.
Woot woot!
France, Germany, Italy, Spain, and the UK, and Portugal. And so these are the five countries that automatically qualify for the final. So no semi-final for them. We don't get to discuss whether or not they're going to make it, because unfortunately, they do. But
In some cases, it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, you will see what we mean.
All hot takes will be revealed in the coming minutes.
Very exciting. Anyway, so I guess we're going to start with France.
We're doing this in alphabetical order, right?
Because, yeah, there's no running order announced yet. So we're starting with France, who are sending the group Madame Monsieur with the song Merci. On a quitté la maison, c'était la guerre. Sûr qu'elle avait raison, il y avait rien à perdre. Oh non, excepté la vie. Je suis né ce matin, je m'appelle Merci. On m'a tendu la main et je suis en vie. Je suis tous ces enfants que la mère a pris.
So I do just really have to say that I love this song. I liked it at first, and then I found out the song is basically about the story of a refugee who was born en route in the Mediterranean, en route to Europe. And obviously kind of promotes that cause, which comes at a very important moment right now. I thought it was kind of catchy before that. Once you know that, it made me like it even more. I will just say the two kind of things I have to say about this is, first of all, I think there's been discussion about like jumping straight into the national final can be really good and can be very, have some pitfalls just in terms of garnering support. You only get that one listen sometimes for viewers, so they may not have as much time to connect to the song. And in terms of staging, I think they're going to be definitely walking a tightrope about not seeming too political and preachy and, you know, not seeming kind of like poverty porn, like, I guess, exploiting refugees to get Eurovision votes, because that sounds pretty bad. But if they do it in an like, artistic way that is still emotional, but not over the top, I think that it could have like a really, really big impact. And I am just praying that they pull it off.
And so, I think it also depends on what Europeans really listen to Eurovision and who's going to be captured by this narrative. Because if you look at public opinion, it is fairly torn as to refugees. So.
Yeah, I mean, the song itself, you know, the sound is really contemporary, really good. The staging at the national final didn't really reflect the message of it, so I didn't really know what it was about going in, or at least coming out of the national final. It was only when I really looked at the lyrics and they released their official music video that sort of came through. That said, the video is beautiful, and I think they do a really great job of presenting their message through that. So I think if they maybe take that vision and incorporate that into the staging, then that could be really successful. Because they strike a really good balance in the music video, just showing people in life vests or space blankets, you know, in the middle of big cities. I don't know how they're going to pull that off, but, you know, something along that same thread, I think this could do really well. France does generally do okay, and I think with this sort of humanitarian political message, could really knock it out of the park. It could also backfire, but I don't really foresee it doing that.
On a side note, that's a lot less serious. I love the black turtlenecks that they're sporting in the
so
video.
French.
And I think that she also sports it in the final, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But like, I'm super excited for them to be rocking the turtleneck here in 2018 at Eurovision. You go girl, turtleneck all the way. Like, I'm not daring enough to pull it off, but, like, you pull it off very well.
And, I mean, even if you don't get the message, like, they have a good look. Their song is catchy. It's contemporary. It's going to draw people in. And so I think even, yeah, regardless of whether people get it or not, it's going to do pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
This is a good song.
Yeah, it is a good song. On a different note, the next song we're going to talk about today is Germany. And the song is called You Let Me Walk Alone by Michael Schulte.
Every now and then I'm drawn to places where I hear a voice or see your face, and every little thought will lead me right back to you. I was born from one love of two hearts. We were three kids and a loving mom. You made this place home, a shelter from the storm. You said I had one life and a true heart. I tried my best and I came so far, but you will never know, 'cause you let me walk this road.
Okay, so I think that this song is beautiful and cute, and it makes me sad, and I'm the only one with this opinion, because apparently no one else has a heart in this room, but I think that he has a good voice. It's not the most upbeat, it's not the craziest, but I think it's cute, and I think that it doesn't deserve the hate grenades that are about to come from you guys.
I mean, do we really need another Ed Sheeran, Lucas Graham ripoff? Like, that market's already cornered, we don't need another one, and like, I know Germany was trying to not come last or second to last again this year, but I feel like they're gonna fail because this is blah.
Right, especially when you have like one chance in the final to make an impact, like this song does not do that.
I'm talking about like most Eurovision songs aren't like, oh, this is so original, out of the box, never heard this before. Like,
I know,
you guys admit that yourselves.
They're fun, even if they're not original. This one's boring and unoriginal. That's like the
it's
worst
prize. It's emotional. Prize. It's so cute.
It's sad, but we already have a song about someone's dead dad. Hungary is sending that.
Okay, well, that was in Hungarian, and I didn't understand it. So, I understood this one. Sorry, not that, like, language barriers are a huge thing, but this song, I was like, oh, I felt it in his voice. And when the other guy was just, like, screaming into the mic, I'm like, okay, sure.
Just their different kinds of pain, whatever.
Yeah, I still find it boring. I'm sorry, I have a heart, but I also have a short attention span. And this just did not match that.
This is easily the worst song this year.
Oh my god.
Like, it's my least favorite song this year, I'm sorry. Like, I can defend most of the other songs. I have nothing good to say about this one.
Okay, well, you guys are heartless, it's fine.
Well then, I guess we'll go to Italy, who is sending Ermal Meta e Fabrizio Moro with Non mi avete fatto niente.
C'è chi si fa la croce, chi prega sui tappeti, le chiese e le moschee, gli imam e tutti i preti, ingressi separati della stessa casa, miliardi di persone che sperano in qualcosa. Braccia senza mani, facce senza nomi, scambiamoci la pelle, in fondo siamo umani, perché la nostra vita non è un punto di vista e non esiste bomba pacifista. Non mi avete fatto niente, non mi avete tolto niente. Questa è la mia vita che va avanti, oltre tutto, oltre la gente. Non mi avete fatto niente, non avete avuto niente. Perché tutto va oltre le vostre inutili guerre. Cercate cieli, le metropolitane, i muri di contrasto alzati per il pane, ma contro ogni terrore che ostacola il cammino, il mondo si...
So in case you missed our first episode, one of the first things Alex ever said on this podcast was, I am Team Italy. And so I will let her talk about this song.
Okay, so there are a couple of things. And granted, I've really loved Italy through the years. But this song in particular is just, it's extremely raw, the way that they rap. I think that, granted, I've only seen the music video, but it's absolutely amazing. I like what it's about, and that it's, you know, talking about why we keep having wars and hurting each other, coming from different backgrounds and different countries and bringing people together. I'm also traditionally someone who really does like rap and believes in it, just like as an art form. And I'd never really heard it in Italian before. And I thought that the kind of Italian groove in the background with the integration of kind of this rap genre and like this social message, I think that it's absolutely the most beautiful song. And I know that it's not gonna win, but it's still my favorite song this year. It evokes something in me. And I don't even speak Italian. After the fifth time of listening to it, I had to look up what the lyrics were about. I really like it.
I mean, I definitely agree. And even if you don't speak Italian and you don't understand what the word, what the lyrics are, like, you just feel the anger coming in from their, you know, in their delivery. I feel like they're definitely angry about something and they're not hiding that.
Yeah, like when you listen to him sing the last chorus and he's basically like screaming it with frustration, it's so beautiful. I can almost cry.
I mean, yeah, the message is great. Their delivery is wonderful. I'm curious about the staging, because the staging at Sanremo was kind of meh, and like the first time I saw it, I wasn't super into it. I was kind of wondering what was going on. So I'm hoping they do something a little more creative. You know, and I love the music video where they have all those images of like war and of people from around the world.
And the subtitles.
And the subtitles in all the different languages. And like that was really powerful, but they don't have an LED screen in Lisbon, and so they can't just project that. And so I'm really curious how they're going to stage this and if they can get that message across. That said, I do really love this. And Italy always hits it out of the park. Their lyrics have been pretty profound lately. Like, even last year, like, it seemed like a silly song on the outside about, like, gorillas and whatever, but it was actually, like, a very deep song about cultural appropriation.
I think we're all kind of a little heartbroken that it didn't.
I was not heartbroken because Portugal was my favorite and I'm glad they won. I was not fully
okay,
heartbroken.
Okay, everyone but Max.
Yeah. Anyway. And Italy has done really, really well in the last, like, 5 years. They always placed really well. And so I think this is just going to be another year where they do top five, top 10 easy.
So yeah, I would definitely say top five is going to be a big stretch for this song. I know that I have a very unpopular opinion here on this panel, but if you listen to the song and are kind of like, I don't know why they love it so much, I am with you on this one. I'm still a little bit burnt by Francesco Gabbani losing last year, but we can put that aside for the time being. But I don't know, I obviously appreciate the message. I think that they're good singers, but something about it, I don't know if it just seems like too stereotypically Italian, or if the Italian rap doesn't jive with me. For some reason, it just leaves me kind of like, I listened to a song for 3 minutes, it had a nice message, not much more to it. For that, I don't know, something about it just has never clicked with me.
It also stands out though, like it's very different from everything else, and I think that could work in its favor.
See, I just feel like it just sounds like another Italian pop song, honestly. Like, it doesn't sound out to me at all.
Fair, I guess.
I think a lot of it is going to depend on the staging, because especially for countries that are choosing to sing in their own language, they already know that they're coming in with, I don't want to call it a handicap, but there is that language barrier where people aren't going to understand what you're singing about, and you really need to translate that, whereas you really don't have to do that in the national final. So I think that the staging is going to be a lot different, and they're going to have to find a way to carry that message and make us kind of, well, Max and I already feel it, but kind of make Bart feel something on the day. But I have faith, and even if he doesn't feel something, I'm just happy that Max and I can, like, cry about its profoundness when the time comes.
I see, and yeah, it's definitely a thing in the national finals that the audience understands what's going on if you're singing in their native language, and that doesn't necessarily translate to the larger competition, so I get where you're coming from, Bart. That said, I think it's really powerful, and I hope that people do get it.
Well, to stop me from getting roasted more for not liking this one song, I will move it ahead to Portugal, the host country, sending Claudia Pascoal with O Jardim. São as flores, o meu
such a beautiful song. And I will admit that I wasn't super into it the first time I heard it, but it's another one where I was walking down the street, headphones in, and it came on, and it was just so beautiful. I don't know, maybe the weather was nice that day. But it made me want to look into it more. I looked at the lyrics, and it's this really beautiful song about, like, her grandmother's garden, and I'm just going to take care of it after she dies. Like, and it's, you can really feel that emotion. Like, I knew it was something sad like that when I first heard it. So you can really feel the emotion through it. I just think it's so beautiful. I don't know.
I do have to say, I think it is objectively a beautiful song. Her voice is really pretty. She seems really sweet. I feel like just in a pure, larger picture of the competition, not everyone is going to go take the time to read the Portuguese lyrics translation, which took away from it. And I do just feel like, just looking at it, Portugal won last year with Salvador Sobral, and it was kind of like that wow factor of like how it was so slow and quiet and jazzy and like kind of contrast to all the other typical Eurovision pop songs. But I don't think they can kind of have that lightning strike twice with this song. Like, it was kind of like a thing last year, and it kind of feels like they're trying to like repurpose it and repackage it. And that kind of like, I mean, it is a beautiful song, obviously. I don't want to detract from that, but I feel like in the greater context, like, I feel like that gives it a kind of handicap in the as a competition song.
Like, I don't think they're going to win again with this, but, you know, given Portugal's general Eurovision history, last year accepted, like, this is a lot more contemporary than it usually is, and a lot better. And I think it's not going to win, but it's going to do pretty well, I think. Hopefully. This might be another case where, you know, it gets lost in the language barrier, but I still think you can feel the emotion in it, regardless of what language you speak.
No, I mean, I feel like you guys kind of hit the nail on the head with this one. I agree. It really doesn't stick out to me. It's a beautiful song now that you guys have told me what it was about, but before I knew what it was about, I kind of got the same feeling as I did last year watching Portugal, which is not something that I want to get twice in a row from the same country.
That's what we're done. That's
with fair, them. I guess. Moving to Portugal's neighbor, Spain, this song will also elicit some strong reactions, but their song is Alfredo Maya singing Tu Canción.
Song this year, it's Spain.
Thank you.
It's so, the song is meh, their performance is so uncomfortable. Like, I'm sorry, like, I feel like we're intruding on a really private moment, and I don't want to be there for it.
I feel like, you know how there's the will they, won't they vibe, and I feel like that's going on throughout this entire show, but to such an intimacy level where you feel like you just don't want to be watching, you don't belong, and then when they do kiss in the end, you're just like, oh, there's a reason why there's a will they, won't they, and for the most part, they won't, because it's creepy to see. I don't want to see it.
They have no chemistry. For being like an actual couple, they have zero chemistry.
You guys need to break up ASAP.
Yeah, like, it just leaves me feeling very, like, uncomfortable. Like, the voices are, like, fine, but not great. The song is kind of boring, but then, like, clearly very, like, intense for them. Like, because they're, like, all in each other's business, but you're, like, I don't really feel anything, but, like, you clearly do. And, like, you're, like, about to make out at any moment, and I don't really know why, because like, I don't like this song. And, yeah, it's like, not a pleasurable viewing experience.
And they have, like, something going for them when they were both playing on different pianos with different colors, and they're matching those colors. But they got up within the first 15 seconds of that performance to get really close to each other and really intimate to a point where everyone's like, no, please, dude. Like, wait till the song is over, then you can go mac it out somewhere.
I mean, to be fair, they did wait until the song was over to kiss, but I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to see it. Like, it's Like, you know, like, a kiss on stage is not that weird when it's, like, last year, Belarus was so cute when they just, like, it was really spontaneous. Or, you know, you had Romania, which was a little rapey. You know, not great. But there are other ways to do it than just, like, being so uncomfortably
close. I love how your definition of one song is, it's a little rapey, but it's still better than a couple.
That should tell you how single I am. Wait, no, that's really inappropriate. It's really inappropriate. Stop that right
so
now.
So that is, like, up there, like, the most problematic hot take I've ever heard.
Nipping that in the bud right now.
But we've now gotten to our last song, guys. So there will be, as long as we get through this one, we might not be sued by anyone for inappropriate podcasting. And we're going to be closing it out with a very rousing rendition of Storm by Suri from the United Kingdom. I still have faith, I still believe in chasing rainbows. Storms don't last forever, forever. Remember, we can hold our hands.
Super excited that this has now been addressed, that like storms don't last forever, because honestly last time it rained I just wasn't sure it was ever gonna stop. But then the song made me pray and then the rain like stopped eventually, so thank God that this is something that exists now. Like, I'm sorry, United Kingdom, can you get nothing right? Like, this is, how many years have you been a part of Eurovision? Like, this song is the worst. You need to get better, and you haven't figured it out. How long has Australia been in this thing? You guys are like basically cousins. They got it down already. Like, you need to get on this.
I do want to compare this song to Australia, because they are very similar in just their melody, their composition. They're both like quote unquote empowering.
Jessica's amazing.
But Jessica's amazing. We Got Love is such a good song. It's well produced. It's got, you know, tons of layers and, like, some cool drum shit going on, and, like, she sells it. This falls so flat. This is like someone tried to make We Got Love, but then just, like, didn't know how to use recording equipment. Like, I don't, like, someone, like, this is like a school project compared to Australia, honestly.
So I do have to say on that note that my thought watching this is that I kind of feel like Suri is like a middle school teacher who gets up at the end of like a really sad school assembly and it's like, okay kids, like I wrote this song myself to try to help you all be positive and like get over your like negative body image, and then like sings the song. And I mean, like, with that said, because I want to end our last song on a slightly positive note, like I kind of guiltily love it. Like, she just, like, she seems like a nice enough person. Like, she's
okay,
really,
but to
like,
go off of your analogy, I'm the little kid watching this in the crowd, having secondhand embarrassment, wanting to shoot my face off as she's singing it.
It sounds like you're the bully in the school, and this is why the assembly was called.
But, you know what, for the song, I'll take it.
But yeah, I mean, she's clearly, like, quirky and nice, and the song is, like, so cheesy that I like hope it's ironic. But like,
I feel like it's not.
In my mind, I'm just saying that.
She's like,
and therefore I'm fine
so
with it.
Earnest about it, and that almost sells it, but also makes it really bad. I don't know. Like, I love Suri, like I've seen interviews with her, and she's so fun, she's so cool. But like, why this song? It's so upsetting.
Like,
because she can do so much better. She has a great voice. She can do literally anything else. But no, they pick a song with literally the world's most basic melody, with the world's most basic drum track. Like, nothing about it is good! Except that it's literally, it's only memorable because it's You've heard it before. You've literally heard it before.
In my head, I've changed the lyrics to songs don't last forever.
I really hope this one does not last forever. Because it feels like it does.
I don't know how on this last song I'm the voice of like optimism and like happiness. But like I embraced it. Storms don't last forever, guys. You're gonna like this song one day.
No, I still believe in chasing rainbows.
I do believe in chasing rainbows.
Bye, guys.
No, we're not done yet.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I thought this was the last
one. Shut the fuck up, bully.
We still have to talk about, you know, who we love from Eurovision, because this is the last episode before we go. And so, what are our predictions? Who are our favorites? Who are our least favorites? Who do we think is going to win? Who do we think is going to get last place? Let's start with Bart.
Wow, put me on the spot. For me, I feel like I'm in a bit of a place on this one, because honestly, the two frontrunners right now, I would say, are definitely Israel, Netta's Toy, and Czech Republic, Lie to Me. And honestly, I just don't like either of those songs that much. Neither of them connected with me. I've kept trying to listen to them, and I come back to them, and they're like, fine, I skipped them halfway through. I do think Toy is the better song of those two. I wouldn't be as mad as it if it won, but still, not my favorite. That kind of brings me to the three songs that I want to slash hope would win, which depends a lot on staging, but I would say that my top three would probably be France, Merci, Australia, We Got Love, as we were just talking about, and then Estonia, La Forza, if she can pull it off. There's some question about Estonia's staging. I think if she does it full opera with a full dress, like, it could be incredible and memorable and get a lot of votes. If France pulls off that kind of balancing act of the refugee message well, I think that that could really blow people away. And otherwise, I just think Jessica Mabway from Australia is, like, so incredible and charming. The song is so catchy that you can't stop listening to it. Mm-hmm. And I would hope it does well. My two dark horses, I hope, just make it out of the final. As I mentioned last episode, Greece has really grown me over time on Nirvomu. I think it's kind of like the best of those like ethnic ballads, some really beautiful string sections, etc. And then I will be pulling for San Marino forever because it is just, I don't even know how to describe it, how to describe Jessica and Jenny B, but I support you and I will be starting a fan club for you guys.
So I agree with most of your analysis. I think Israel is definitely a front runner, as is the Czech Republic. I would actually put Estonia up there as a front runner, also as one of my favorites. I think, you know, Salvador Sobral showed that like there's room for music that isn't just pop to win, and Estonia's staging is just phenomenal. She is amazing. Her voice is just out of this world, and I think even if they just repeat what they did at Estee Lauder, top five for sure, and could definitely win. Bulgaria is really promising. I've only heard good things about their song, except from you two, apparently. But people seem to love it. Bulgaria does really well. It's got a really great songwriting team behind it. Their staging could be impeccable. And if they continue on the trajectory that they've been on, they can absolutely win this thing. But they do have to beat Israel and the Czech Republic, which I think are the strongest frontrunners. My dark horse, I don't think they're going to go very far, but I love me some Moldova, and I really hope that they can maybe capitalize on the goodwill from last year and make it pretty far. I really like Macedonia. I think their song, again, is one of my favorite just tracks this year. And Bart just looked at me like I was insane because he clearly doesn't even remember what the song was. But
yeah, I didn't like that song.
It is the best track of the year. Eurovision track of the year. Qualifying it there. And I hope it does well. I don't think it's gonna do, it's definitely not gonna win. But I hope it, you know, Macedonia can show up.
So, yeah, my top five are actually not the Czech Republic or Israel. I think that they're going to go far. I think that they do well. My top five is Denmark. I think that it's actually just a really good song. I like Australia, so it's two. I like Cyprus, so that's three. Right, I really like Cyprus. I really like Finland. I hope that they go far, too. They normally don't. And then Estonia is really great. And Dark Horses, because I know that I'm going to get so much shit for saying this, but it's grown on me, and I've kept it inside from you guys till the very end.
Oh,
but
no, what
Belarus.
No!
Yes!
No!
Oh my god, it's actually
not that.
We're
kicking her off of the podcast. No.
Yeah, it's annoying. So Belarus is my dark horse, as well as Slovenia. So you guys can suck it.
Well, Belarus is a no from me. But the one I do want to throw out there, in addition to Cyprus and Finland, would be Belgium. Because I feel like they always have, like, a very solid song. I feel like they won't win. But, like, I'm going to, again, cross my fingers. Like, if they really stage it well, her voice is beautiful. And it could really, like, I think it could surprise people.
I think Belgium is going to come in fourth again.
Yeah.
As they, like, always do.
I would agree with
and
that.
But, like, they very much deserve fourth this time around. Like, they don't deserve to win. There's a lot of more unique stuff out there, but it's, I mean, they really blow it out of the park every year.
I think Finland also, you're right, has a good chance. I mean, its odds have fallen significantly as the rest of the countries have sort of released their songs, and we saw that it kind of really blah national final performance, but Sara Aalto is also endlessly charming, just a really great person, and her enthusiasm for the song really comes across. And it's just, it's a banger. It's got a lot of charm to it.
If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, Max sent this to us a couple days ago. She sings in, like, all the Eurovision languages.
She sings her song in all the Eurovision languages.
And it's
really
so
beautiful.
Good. And as someone who speaks, like, one of those fringe languages where I would assume that her accent would be way off, she actually did a really good job of pulling off Danish. So, you go, girl. I'm rooting for you, especially after you sang in my native language.
And we'll link to the video in the description.
So good.
In the show notes.
In the show notes.
We've learned so much about podcasting, everyone. And now our time has come to an end for the year.
So sad.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the other side of Eurovision with our Eurovision debrief that we will have in a couple weeks. Again, we may or may not give you something from the contest,
but we'll see
how that goes. We have no idea what to expect in Portugal.
But Max, quick question. What if I want to send you guys hate mail or fan mail?
We do have an email address. It's starspangledeurovision@gmail.com if you really, really want to send us something.
What about on Twitter?
Okay. Can I just do the full social media plug? Or
I mean, I really wanted to perform my acting, but sure.
Okay. Anyway, you can follow us at facebook.com/starspangledeurovision. We're on Instagram @starspangledeurovision, and Twitter @SSE_pod. Find us on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/starspangledeurovision. We're on Stitcher. Still working on that Apple Podcast.
One day we will conquer Apple Podcasts.
It'll happen.
And there will be no looking back.
We're going to get all the views.
Yeah.
I mean, listens. Well, I don't even know how you count that.
Get it right. Listens. Like, actually, you can only measure how many people download. So if you'd want to download this and not listen to it, that's kind of cool, too.
I think I disabled downloading on SoundCloud.
Wait,
so
what?
That might not be a thing.
Oh, well, once we get Apple Podcasts, it will be.
Well,
do we make any money off this?
No.
Oh, shit.
Well, thank you so much to our listeners for sticking with us through 5 whole episodes before Eurovision and hopefully our post-Eurovision debrief. And we'll see you on the other side. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.